Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Dr. Charles Ryrie taught theology at Dallas Theological Seminary for many years. He is one of the most respected Calvinist theologians in America. His book, A Survey of Bible Doctrine, has many logical and theological blunders in it. I have time to mention just one. Dr. Ryrie asserts, more than 200 times in the New Testament, salvation is said to be conditioned solely on the basis of faith. Faith that has as its object the Lord Jesus who died as a substitute for our sins. Page 134. There is a serious flaw in Dr. Ryrie's assertion. It is not true. In fact, there is not one passage, not even one, that teaches salvation by faith alone. There are many passages that teach salvation by faith, but none that teaches salvation by faith alone. Dr. Ryrie mentions Paul's response to the Philippian jailer's question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul commanded, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house." Acts 16:30 and 31. Did Paul tell the jailer to believe only? In truth, the only time faith and alone are connected, there is a big knot between them. You see, then, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. James 2:24. The Apostle John teaches, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him that beget loves him also who is begotten of him." 1 John 5:1. This powerful verse raises a number of pertinent questions. Does John really mean whosoever? What is involved in believing? Is it really faith only? How is one born of God? Who does the begetting in the new birth? I like the reading of the English Standard Version in the second part of this verse. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. I shall discuss these questions as time permits. What is the significance of the word, whosoever? Does that word mean that everyone who comes to Jesus in faith and obedience will be forgiven and added to the church of our Lord? The very last chapter of the Bible provides a clear answer to that question. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. There is nothing in these verses that can be harmonized with the doctrine of particular election. The book of Hebrews lists faith toward God as one of the first principles of the oracles of God. Hebrews 6:1. No Bible student could ever deny the absolute essentiality of faith toward God. Hebrews 11:6. But what is the meaning of true faith? Must it be an obedient faith? Do you remember these words from Hebrews? "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him." Hebrews 5:8-9. Do you wonder that these verses are conspicuous by their absence in Dr. Ryrie's book? How is one born of God, or born into the kingdom? Jesus provided the answer for Nicodemus. "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." John 3:5. How did the Apostle Peter interpret the Lord's words? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. If the people on Pentecost were not born again when they repented and were baptized, what else did they have to do to be born again? The Apostle Peter says they were begotten by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.